Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're about two thirds of the way down. The two dots, the first word in the line is Vishirayim Amar Rav Chisda. So we start an Agadita. Darish Mari Barmar. Maidich Siv. So we're looking now at a Pasuk in Tehillim. And it says the following: L'chol tichla, to every goal, means any endeavor that you take up, any enterprise. Ra'isi kates, I saw a limit. In other words, at some point or another, you succeed and you accomplish your goal. Rechava mitzvah secha ma'od, but in contrast, your mitzvos are very broad. Everything has a ketz, an end to it, except for mitzvos. Mitzvos are endless. And Rav Chisda comments on this pasuk, Dover zeh omar David, below Pirsho. In other words, he didn't give us a measurement of how we can compare mitzvos. You know, give me, you know, some idea. Because maybe I went too far when I said it's endless. It says it's rechava ma'od. It's very broad. I mean, if it's broad, you know, as we've been learning in Erevin over and over again, you know, rochav, you have to tell me how many, you know, how wide is what. Not only that, Amaro Eov velo Pirsho. Eov also is going to indicate that Torah and mitzvahs are very, very extensive. But he's not going to give me a measurement. Amar Yecheskel v'lo Pirsho, Ad Sheba Zechariah ben Ido. So we're going to have to look in Sefer Zechariah u'Pirsho, and he's going to tell us how broad are the his Torah mitzvahs. So let's go through each one of these. So Amar David, that we have ready. Tichsiv kol tichlo reisi kates rechov mitzvah sech miod. So he tells me that the mitzvahs are very broad. But he doesn't tell me exactly how broad is broad. And Omro Eov Lo Pirsho, Tichsiv, regarding Torah, it says, in the 11th chapter of Eov, it says, Arucha me eretz mido rechove mine yam, which means that longer than the earth is the Torah's measure and wider than the seas. But it doesn't tell you exactly what the measurement is. And then we get to Amar Yecheskel Pirsho Dechsiv. He talks about a Megillah of Torah Shebal Peh. All right, we'll have something to discuss here about this parchment, so to speak, of Torah Shebal Peh. And it says the following: Dechsiv Vayifros Osal Lefanai. He spread it, this scroll, out before me, v'hi k'suva panim v'achar, and it was written on both sides. Because of Eileah, kinim v'hege v'hi, and it was inscribed in lamentations, rejoicing, and woe, woe. So we have here a reference in Yechezkel to a scroll that contains the teaching of the oral law, but he doesn't give us the dimensions of the scroll. So even Yechezkel has not informed us of the size of the Torah. Now, the Gemara takes a little bit of a digression here, a self-contained unit, going through these three words, Kidim Vahegavahi, Kidim Zu Paranios. It's interesting, paronios here means reward. Usually it means punishment. Paronios shall tzaddikim. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. My mistake. Yeah, paronios means the punishment for the righteous in this world, meaning that God will pay up for any imperfections and so forth in this world, so that they'll be clean for the next world. Next world will be pure reward. And that's called kinim. So kinim means lamentations, because we're going to lament the suffering of the tzaddikim which means that they're going to be punished for those very few iniquities or, you know, deficiencies in this world. Now, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara's interpretation of Kinim regarding the punishment of the righteous in this world is related to Torah Shebaal Peh. Right, the whole subject here of the Megillah about which Yechezkel is describing is Torah Shebaal Peh. So I'm not sure exactly what the Torah Shebaal Peh and how it relates to the punishment that's meted out to the tzaddikim in this world. But I guess what maybe the Gemara is saying is that if not for Torah Shebaal Peh, we would really not be able to comprehend, you know, the suffering and the punishment of the righteous. Alright. V'cheinu Omer. Now I'm going to prove to you from another pasuk in Yechezkel where he foretells the downfall of Egypt at the hands of Bavel, which happened right after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And it says over there, Kina hi v'konenuha, which means it is a lamentation and they shall lament it. And he's talking about the paronios, that's the travails that are going to be meted out to the Egyptians, which is something that Yechezkel saw b'mar nevuah. And here too, he saw on this parchment, on this scroll, the travails that would befall the tzaddikim in this world. And he quotes the Marsha here in the footnote. He says, "Kadeshi Kablu es kol scharam ba'olam abba." Okay. Then the next word in this trio is hege. Hege zu matin scharan shel tzaddikim lasid lava. So hege means lashon simcha, the joy for the righteous when they receive their rewards in the world to come. B'cheinu omer, I'll prove it to you again from Yechezkel. Hove al hove tavo. So this word hege is related to the word hove. Just one second, I think I may have skipped something. Did I skip something? Yeah, I'm sorry, I skipped something. Ve hege zumat scharan shel tzaddikim liyosid lavo. How do I know that the word hege is referring to the joy of tzaddikim? Chenu omer Alei Higayon Bechinor. I think that's the Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, if I'm not mistaken, which literally means with singing accompanied by a harp. So we see that this Hege is a reference to Simcha. And what is this joy? This joy is none other than the reward that's bestowed upon the tzaddikim in the world to come. Then the third word in this trio is vahi. And we said that that's the punishment meted out to the Rishoyim in the future. And it comes from the word itself is hey yud. And hey yud is a language of punishment. How do I know this? Kenu Omer Hashem al hove al hove tavo. Happening upon happening will come. And he translates it as shever al shever lirishe Yisrael. He says, Biosa nevua nimsa li Yechezkel esa sheyil Yisrael yachar. And the word v'noshantem is Gematria 852. Behem Nishtoba, I guess he's talking about, if I'm not mistaken, the two great exiles. Let's see, Shmona Meos V'Chamishim Shana, 850 years. So give me a second here to work this out. 850 years. 440 years from the time. I see. We're talking about how many years would it be from the entry into the Promised Land until the Golus. So we take 400 years and 440 years until the Beis HaMikdash was built. Most of that was Shiloh, right? Now, add to 440, 410 years that the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon stood. So if you add 440 with 410, you get 850. Now, where's the extra 2 years? That's what I don't catch. Shmonameos Chamishim Ushtayim. Does he say anything here? No. All right, so I'm off here by 2 years. I don't know, maybe they rounded it. I'm not sure what happened over here. I don't want to waste too much time. I want to get back to Masechta Erevin tomorrow. So let's see if we can do this Agadata today as best as we could, as best as we can. All right. Now, Achibo Zecharya ben Ido, who perisho. So the measurement of the Torah we'll get from Zecharya. The Chsiv, it says in Perek Hei of Zecharya, I'm going to read the whole pasuk. It says, V'yashuv v'asa einai v'er'ev v'nei Megillah Ofa. So I see this great scroll. Vayomer Elai, and I guess the Malach is talking to Zechariah, and he says, Ma ata roeh, what is it that you see? Va'omer, and I say, Ani roeh, Megillah Ofa, Arka, in its length, it's Esrim bi'ama, it's 20 amas long, V'rochva Eser bi'ama, and it's 10 amos wide. And again, it would seem like Zechariah is now seeing the same scroll of Torah that Yechezkel would see, but Zechariah is able to give us the exact dimensions. It's 20 amma in length and 10 amma in width. Okay? Fine. Now, it says Megillah Ofa. And what is Megillah Ofa? Megillah Ofa means Megillah Kfula. So the actual size is going to be double. Which means that instead of 20 amas long by 10 amas wide, it's going to be 20 amas long by 20 amas wide. If he pashat it to Allah, have your law, esrim be esrim. So the Megillah, I guess, is rolled up, but if you'd stretch it out, open it up, on its all its folds, then it would be 20 amma by 20 amma. So again, in Yechezkel, he doesn't tell us the size, the dimensions of this Megillah, but Zechariah reveals them. Uksiv. Now let's go back to Yechezkel and see his description of this scroll. Hiksuva panim v'achar. So it's written on two sides. V'chika faltala kamahavula. So if I understand correctly, And again, the kafaltala means to peel it. Not sure exactly why he says it that way. I guess you peel it the back of the scroll from the front so that the two sides can be juxtaposed and read as one. But basically, I think it means you're doubling it. It's kama havila. So now, what's going to be the size of this Megillah? Arba'in b'esrim. Right, so you double the length, which gives you from 20 amma to 40 amma. And we already doubled it because we said he had to open it up, spread it out, right? So he has now, instead of 10 amma in the Rochav, he's 20 amma. So he's got 40 amma by 20 amma. Okay. Now, he makes a big deal here about the fact that the amma here is called the Amosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the amma is God's amma, not our amma, which is an arm's length, right? So what is the size of God's amma? And then once we figure that out, then we can take the 20 by 40 and figure out what's going on. Uksiv. And now we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi, and it says, "Mi madad b'sha'olo mayim v'shamayim b'zeres tiken," which literally means, "Who measured with his H-I-S, a capital H, fist the sea, and the heavens with a span he, capital H, gauged." So that means that Midas HaOlam he Zeres. Okay. The Amida Shebeina Etzbak Tana Amachuna Zeres Le Agudal Behem Shlosha Tfachim. So the heavens measure one divine handspread span by one divine handspread, which is a quarter of a divine square amma. So we're talking about, he says, chatzi amma al chatzi amma. Haresha ba'olam kulo Hu chatzi amma be'amosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hainu chatzi amma al chatzi amma shei reva amma mirubas. So one quarter of a square amma. Kimin shatorah hi arboim amma al esrim amma. So if you have 40 amma on 20 amma, and that's going to give you, if you square it, so you're going to multiply 20 by 40, and you end up with 800 amma. Correct? 20 by 40 is 800. And then he writes, U'b'shetach zeh yesh loshes alofim Umasayim rive amma. I guess he's multiplying 800 by 4, if I got that correctly. Let's see. 4 times 8 is 3,200. So it's 3,200 over a quarter amma. Nimsa shekol olam kulo Echad mishlosha salofim umasayim batorah. Now, the Torah is greater than the universe by 3,200 times. So let's just see if we got the math correctly. So the universe measures one quarter of a square amma. So the Torah is now 3,200 times greater than the universe. Now, he has, in the footnote in the English translation, he has an insight of the Marsha. The Marsha says we have pshat, remez, drush, and sod, but he says you have pshat, drush, you have also maisa breishis, and maisa merkava. So we had four neviim, and they each correspond to one of those four levels of Torah. So we have pshat. Dovid HaMelech refers to the Torah because he speaks about rechava. Rechava means broad, so that's the first level of Torah, that's the dimension of width. Whereas Eov says, right, so let's go back to Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech said, Rechava mitzvot sechemot. Now, we get up to Eov, and he's got Arucha and Rechava. So he's got two-dimensional. And that refers to Drash. That's already the deeper understanding, a two-dimensional understanding of the Torah. Now we get to Yechezkel, who says that it's written on both the front of the scroll and the back of the scroll. So that gives us the third level, because it's not just the dimensions of width and length, but it's also back and forth. So that's another dimension. So that refers to Maaseh Breishis. That's part of the Kabbalah of Maaseh Breishis, the Sod HaTorah. And it's written also on the back of the scroll to convey that it's concealed. That's Maaseh Breishis, the way God created the world. Then we get up to Zechariah, and Zechariah has the scroll divided into four sections because it's written on both sides and it's folded into two. So that's the full extent of Torah, which is all four parts, and that's called Maisa Merkava. The Omer Rav Chizkiya, the Dorish Mari Bar Mar, Maidach Siv. What does the Pasuk mean when it says in Yirmiyahu Novi, Vehine Shnei Duda'ei Se'enim? This is in the parasha of Nebuchadnezzar Mel Bavel and Yechonya ben Yoyakim Melch Yehuda, Sar Yehuda, HaChoresh Ve'amazgir Mishalayim, and they brought him to Bavel, and it says here, Now I don't know how to translate the word dud. He translated it as a pot. And there are two pots of te'enim, of figs. Mu'odim lifnei heichal Hashem, were prepared before the sanctuary of God. Hadud echad te'enim tovos. One had good figs. Kise'enei, here we're on Chof Alpha Mipes, Habachuros. Bachuros are the first ones to ripen on the tree. But the second pot of figs, rose miot, it's full of very bad figs. So they're not fit for human consumption. Now we want to know what Yirmiyahu has in mind, and we're going to dash in this al pitor shebal peh. Te'enim atovos elu tzadikim geburim. The good figs are a symbolic metaphor for the righteous, the totally righteous. And Tainim Rose, Elu Roshon Gemur, the bad figs symbolize the wicked, totally wicked. Shema told me you might think, Avad Sivram Ubatel Sikuyam. As far as the evil doers, their all hope is gone, their prospects are naught. Talmud Loma Adudaim Nis Nosnu Reach. There's a pasuk already in Shira Shirim. And it says the pots emitted a fragrance, kind of like a flower. And it's in plural. So what's the plural of Duda'im? Elu ve'elu asidim sheyitnu reach. That at the end of days, even the evildoers will give a fragrant smell. He says, "Hainu achar golus Yechonya lebavel." So we're talking about after the exile of Yechoniah to Bavel, and he goes with the Charash and the Mazger. Yisrael Yirmiyah b'mara nevuah shnei sirei nechoshes moleim te'enim, two copper pots that are full with figs. Muchanim lefnei Echal Hashem. B'echad te'enim tovos, ha'ani te'enim chashuvos. Okay, te'enim ros, enim nechshavos. Fine. He says, Shema Tomer, we would think of the tikvasom. So it means there's no hope for the evil. Talmud Lomar, Dudaim Nasnu Reach. Li Eila Nirmazim, Bishne Dudai Te'inim, Eilu Veila Sidim, Sheyitnu Reach. Kulam Yevakshu is Pnei Hashem. Even the evildoers will seek out the face of God. Now, in later chapters in Yirmiyahu, it says that the two pots of figs are an allusion to the two stages of exile, which took place at the end of Bais Rishon. So the good fig symbolized the first wave of exile, which is 10,000 of the spiritual elite of Yerushalayim, scholars and leaders. They were exiled to Babylonia. And this is 11 years before the destruction of the Mikdash. The rest of the population was not exiled until after the Churban HaBayis. And this second group consisted of evildoers. That's why it was symbolized by a pot of bad figs. Yirmiyah is told of the terrible fate which will befall the members of the second exile, apparently culminating in their total destruction. Hence the Gemara asks, is their hope gone and their prospects naught? To which the Gemara responds that eventually both groups will emit a fragrance of Torah. Dorash Rava, Maidich Siv, and again we're back in Shir Shirim, Hadudaim Nasnu Reach, the violets emit a fragrance. Elu Bachure Yisrael Shalotamu Tam Chet. So these are the young men who never had a relationship with a woman and in any kind of a sin. And basically, this, you know, in Shir Hashirim we have a symbol, a metaphor. This is Klal Yisrael that are presenting, so to speak, their credentials to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that we'll find favor in the eyes of God. So therefore we say, Adudaim Nasnu Reach, these are the Bachurei Yisrael, they never tasted any sin. So this is our claim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He should love us the way we love Him. Then the Pasuk says, V'al Psachemo, Psachenu Kol Megadim, at our doors are all fine fruits. Elu Benos Yisrael Shemagidos, Pischem lebaleim. Right, we said that megadim are fine fruits, but really the word megadim also has the word, the connotation of telling, of notifying someone. So the Benos Yisrael are notifying their husbands, and it says psachemo. Psachemo is a symbol of the private area that. That they will notify their husbands of some sort of secret with regard to their private area, and that is that they have a nida, and that they're not allowed to resume relations. Lashon Acher, another interpretation, ogdim pischem lebaleim, that they watch and protect their privates from being faithless and having a relationship with others. They are totally faithful to their husbands. And this is, again, our claim to fame. When the Raya comes to the Dod and says that we can be involved in a very intimate, special relationship, a marriage relationship. Chadashim gam yeshanim dodi tzafanti loch, new ones as well as old ones, my beloved, I have hidden for you. So what is the nation saying here in this next part of the pasuk? Omra Knesset Yofnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Harbe Gzeros Gazarta Al Atzmi Yoser Mimashe Gazarta Alai Vikiyam Tim. So we have here in this pasuk Chadashim and Yeshanim. The Yeshanim refer to the Torah. Those are the statutes that God gave us in the Torah. Those are clear. And Chadashim are the statutes that were enacted by the Chachamim. These are the Gzeros and the Syogim. That in each generation we added a new Geder, a new fence around the Torah to prevent us from doing Avera. And we can claim that with all these Gzeros, we've always been loyal to these Gzeros. And perhaps if this is an addendum to the piece about the Pesach and the Megadim and so forth and so on, Shaogdos Pischem Lebalem, maybe they mean the various Gzeros that we accepted in the laws of Nida specifically. That seems to be the way the Marsha has quoted Chumras Hashonah Shechmiru Be'Isur Nida. Like, for example, Ros, Afilu Ros, Tipas Dam Kechad Yosel of Shiva Nekiyim. Imagine she had one Re'ia, and she's going to consider it as if she had three consecutive Re'ias on three different days, which makes her into Zav Gdol, and she needs Zayin Nekiyim. But she only saw Tipas Dam Kechad. So imagine, and the Gemara goes through this, how one Tipas Dam Kechado could somehow traverse three different days and three Rias on three consecutive days. But these were all the Chumras that we accepted upon ourselves. Amalei Rav Chisda Lahu Mi Derabonon Tavi Komesad Ragadata Kameh. So we had Rav Chisda had a scholar who was in charge of organizing the Agadata and presenting it to Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda said to this great scholar, he says to him, Mish Milach, have you heard anything about the following pasuk, Kadoshim Gam Yeshonim? Ma, what is the meaning here? Omalei, so the Chacham turns to Rav Chisda, and he says, Kadoshim Elu Mitzos Kalos, and Yeshonim Elu Mitzos Chamuros. So Klal Yisrael is claiming that they have fulfilled both the light mitzvahs and the heavy mitzvahs. Now, how do you see this in the pasuk of Chadashim, the Gam Yeshanim? See it again. Kadoshim are mitzvos kalos. Why is that? Kigon tchum Shabbos, Isur Yichud ba'erva, shenitnu li'achar, shenitnu ikrei mitzvos kon Shabbos va'arayas shem yishonos. I guess there's some sort of a time sequence here in which the Isurim of Tchum Shabbos and Yichud Barat, those were additions that were added on later, and those are called Chadoshos. Amalei Rav Chisda responded, V'chitora pa'omim pa'omim nitna. Can you really tell me that the Torah was given in stages? You know, at time T1, certain mitzvahs were given, and later on, other mitzvahs were given. And therefore, you could describe them as Yeshanos and Chadoshos. That's impossible. He says, V'afle pirish hanal, shachein nitnu kalos sachar chamurus kemich esof sof kul misinai nemru. Ah, no, it's even if they were given as an addendum or a tag-on to a primary mitzvah, a primary Isur, but nevertheless they were all given at Har Sinai. So you can't call them Chadoshim and Yeshanim. Ella, but rather here's how you should interpret it. Halal of the Yeshanim are Divrei Torah. Halal of the Divrei Sofrim. and the Chadashim are rabbinic enactments. Dorash Rava, my dechsiv, what does it mean in Koheles? V'yoser mehema. Bini, he zoyer lasos, asos sforim harbe. And the next part of the pasuk says, "En kates velag harbe yigias basar." So earlier, in the sequence of the psukim in Koheles, in the 12th paragraph, it says, "Diri chacham kidarbanos, ukimas meros, nituim, bale asufos nitnu meroa echad." And this means that Divrei Torah were given to Moshe Baal Peh. And this is what the Pasuk means, that they were given from one shepherd, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave them both the Torah, Shebechsav, and the entire Torah Baal Peh. And over the course of time, I guess during the exile and so forth, Nechleku ba'em Chachmei Yisrael, be a machlokas among the Chachmei Yisrael, Nismatu alavavos v'nishkechu, and therefore the pasuk says, V'yoser mehema b'ni hizoyer, and more than these, my son, be heedful. In other words, more than the Torah commandments that are explicit in the Torah, be heedful of the Torah Shebaal Peh that's being taught by Chazal. So be careful to observe the Divrei Sofrim. Yoser, even more than Divrei mi Divrei Torah. Right? Just like Chazal say very often, Divrei Sofrim Trichim Chizuk Yoser. We machazik it even more. And the punishment is even greater, paradoxically, for violating a Divrei Sofrim. You call it over al Divrei Sofrim Chayev Misa. Again, Misa Bidei Shamayim. Now this is Gemara Masechta Shabbos that darshins Pasuk in Koheles. It says, "Uporetz Goder Yishchenu Nachash." That someone who breaks the fences, that the Chacham established these fences, he will be punished by being bitten by a serpent. Shemetomim Kain Yesh Bahem Mamish is Mdei Malo Nichtavu. If these prohibitions were so serious and so severe, they should have been incorporated into the Torah itself. Amakra, so the next part of the pasuk says, Asos Farim Harbe Ein Kates, that it's impossible to write all the books that would address all the possible scenarios that might come up, because it's endless. So this reminds me of a famous thesis, I think it is, of Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch, that it's like if you hear a lecture, you know, you write down notes, and the notes are really just a shortened form, and abridged form, Rashi Prakim, of what you heard. So the Torah Shebechsav is just Rashi Prakim, it's, you know, the general rules and principles, and then the rest you heard Baal Peh. You know, you can't write that everything that you hear Baal Peh. He says, V'yafim noflos machlokos shonos b'divrei Torah rotzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu shekasher yifseku rov chachmei ador kein tzorch linhog. So even despite the controversies over the generations, but nevertheless we have a rule that we apply rov, we rely on the majority view. But nevertheless, Elu v'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. Okay. Now, he mentions here Rabbeinu Yonah, then often it's true that when one violates the Torah law of the Doraisa, he respects the law. But he was motivated by physical desire, and later on he has Charata. So he's not rejecting the obligation of the Torah. He had a momentary lapse in the implementation and the observance of the Torah. In the case of the Rabbanans, very often the reason why he violates the drabanan is because he's mezalzel. He's not makshiv the drabanans, and that in a sense is much more severe because he's really almost rejecting the obligation and questioning the authority of the chachamim, which is the authority of the chachamim is an essential part of Torah. It's a critical part of Torah. Shema Tomar. Okay, so that we did. We'll just review it. Is in Yesh Ba'amamish Mipnei Ma Lo Nichtuvu? Why aren't they encoded in the Torah itself? On my cross, so Sfarim Harbe and Kates. There's no end to the number of books that would have to be written to contain all the laws. So all we have is the Torah Shebichtav, as we said, like the outline, the principles. Then in the pasuk it says, "Vilahag harbe yigias basar," and much study is weariness of the flesh. What does that mean? He says here, "His askus belimud yigia rabba libnei adam." When you dedicate yourself to study Torah, that requires a tremendous amount of effort, of what we call sweat and toil. Omar Rav Papa, Breda Rav Acha, Bar Adam, Ishmeda Rav Acha, Bar Ula, Melamed Shekol HaMalig, Al Divrei Chachomim, Nidon Bitsoa Rosachas. Anyone who mocks the words of the sages will be punished in boiling excrement, because the word lahag is similar to laag, to mock. Okay, where's the allusion to excrement here? It says here, yigias basar. So he says that the tsoa, he quotes Rashi, is pre yigias habasar beachila. He has a long quote here from the Rambam's Hakdama lePirush HaMishnayos. Eimlecha tsoa rotsachas min aksilos asher hesioso lahalig melkein lo timtza liolam marchik divreim el ish mevakish tava. Does it say lahag? Like the pasuk says lahag with a hey. This is Rava Lishitasa. Rava is always interested in the strict definition of the words of the text. So he objects, it doesn't say lag here, as if we're referring to someone who mocks the words of the Chachamim. It says lag. Lahag, excuse me. So what is lahag? Wariness. Lahag is wariness. He says lag siv, ella. Lag means hogev haTorah. He's wary from the study of Torah. Shekola hogev, or anyone who's works so hard and toils in Torah, is toin tam basar. Just like he's giving a mashal, just like we enjoy the taste of a meat, so too we'll enjoy the taste of olam haba if we work overtime here and sweat it out in the study of Torah. Tana Rabbanan Maisav Rabbi Akiva Shaya Chavush Bebeis HaSurim. Oh, this is about Netilas Yadayim. You remember this? Rabbi Akiva was locked up in jail towards the end of his life. V'hoi Rabbi Yeshua HaGarsi Misharso. And the Goyim allowed one great Rabbi Yeshua to serve him. B'chol Yom V'yom Hoi Machnisin Lo Mayim B'mida. They would give him, and Rabbi Yeshua brought him water that had a double measurement. It was enough for him to wash his hands, and also to drink together with whatever bread they gave him to eat. Yom Echad Mitzo Shomer Beis Asurim, this very evil guardian of the jail, and he finds that Rabbi Yeshua is carrying the water to Rabbi Akiva Amalo. So this guardian, this officer, says to Rabbi Yeshua, I see that Ayom Eimecha Merubim. You know, I allowed you to take enough water for him to drink. You're bringing a lot more water than that, because he brought in the excess water so that Rabbi Akiva could wash his hands before he ate the bread. And Shema, you know, maybe this is a plot. Lachtar Beis HaSurim Atatzor. You're trying to dig your way out of the jail. Right, whatever ground you have, you want to pour the water on the ground and soften the ground so you can dig a hole. And therefore, the Shomer grabs on to the jar of water and Shofach Chetzion V'nosanlo. So he spills out half of it and gives him the other half. That's all that, you know, that's all the rabbi needs to drink. K'sheba Eitzel Rabbi Akiva. He comes to Rabbi Akiva and there's only half of the water. Now Rabbi Akiva has to decide what to do with that half. Omer lo Yoshua, ein ata yodea shezokin ani v'chayai tluyim v'chayecha. Don't you realize I totally depend upon you for my life? Why did you bring me so little water? Sachlo, Rabbi Yeshua tells him that what happened with the officer, the prison guard. So Sachlo Kalosamura, he tells us, Omalo Rabbi Kiva, so Rabbi Kiva turns to Rabbi Yeshua and he says the following: I want to eat a piece of bread. I need the water desperately to drink, but Tainli Maim She'etel Yodai Lesud. I'm going to use this half a cup of water to wash my hands. Omalo Rabbi Yeshua says to him, but Lishtos Ein Magim, you won't have enough water left to drink. Lito Yodecha Magim. In other words, you're expecting it to be able to serve two functions. You know, you're going to be able to wash your hands and to drink the rest of the water. That's impossible. Once you wash your hands, there will be no water left to drink. Amalo, Rabbi Akiva says, Ma'aseh, well, I'd have no choice. Shechayovim alea misa. If I don't wash my hands, and I undermine the law of the Chachamim, that you have to wash your hands, then I'll be chayav misa for that. Mutav, it's better sha'omus misas atzmi, that I should die for the lack of water, v'lo ever aldas chaverai, and I won't violate the will of my colleagues that made this enactment that you have to wash your hands before you eat bread. Amru, and they said about this story that lo tam Rabbi Akiva min apas klum, Rabbi Akiva refused to taste the bread at shehevu lo mayim v'not al yod of lesuda, exactly as he said. He would not eat the bread until he washed his hands, even though knowing full well he'd be left with no water to drink. Later on, the rabbis found out about it. Amru, they said, Ma bezikhnuso kach, if this our Rabbi Akiva was so meticulous to observe the laws of the Chachamim when he was an old man, and he would suffer so much, denying himself water to drink, is bialdu, so we can only imagine in his younger years, when he could tolerate all this suffering, Allah has come, how much more so would he be careful with the words of the Chachamim, not to violate them. And further, the Kalvachomim, umabe beis hasurim kach, under the very harsh conditions of jail, nevertheless, this is the level Rabbi Akiva reaches in those dire straits, in order to observe the laws of the Chachamim and great sacrifices, shalom beis asur malachas kama v'kama. How much more so was Rabbi Akiva so careful when he wasn't in jail? Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel b'shah shetikein Shlomo Erevin, when Shlomo was masaking two great mitzvahs. Number one is Erevin, that you're not allowed to carry from one rishus to another, even though both rishus are yachid, but one belongs to you, one without an Erev. And he was afraid that they might come to make a mistake and carry it to rishus Arabim as well. Netilas Yadayim, and he was masaking that you have to wash your hands, which is a siag for taros, is at that moment, Yotzus of Baskol V'yomra, a heavenly voice declared, B'ni im chacham libecha yismach libi gam ani. And God says, that be wise, my son, and make my heart glad. My heart shall rejoice as well. In other words, if your heart is wise, then my heart is going to rejoice. The Omer, and further the verse says, Chacham b'ni v'samach libi. Be wise, my son, make my heart glad, v'yashiva charpi davar, and I will answer something to he who disgraces me. All this is Shlomo Melech and Mishlei. And again, this is the divine approval of those laws that were enacted by Shlomo HaMelech. Okay then, so let's make a note of where we got up to. And we're almost finished with the Agadah. Hopefully we'll be able to finish it probably before the end of tomorrow's Shia, so we get back on the track of Hilchas Erevin. So we're up to Darash Rava, which is, let's see, Darash Rav. It's right before the white lines at the bottom of the yard. Okay, then we'll stop here.